Yes, my name is Francisco Contreras. I'm a surgical oncologist, and I've been doing integrative cancer therapy for the last 35 years. Well, it's been a very interesting time because there's so much information coming out scientifically as far as molecular biology that we are now understanding a lot more how the malignant cells work, what they need in order to thrive, and how we can stop that growth with natural elements. So more and more we're finding out that we can actually impact the growth of cancer with nutrients and food rather than chemotherapy and radiation therapy. Mm-hmm. Surgery continues to be an important part of the treatment against cancer, especially in early stages. So when we find cancer in an early stage, surgery is curable. And so in that part of the treatment against cancer, surgery continues to be very important. What we have seen, though, is that in more advanced cases, the use of high-dose chemotherapy or radiation has definitely decreased. And that is very important because these therapies are devastating to a cancer patient. They can reduce tumor activity, but they also, in many cases, they kill the patient. So diminishing the use of chemotherapy and radiation therapy over the last 35 years has been very significant. Mm. That is, it is very hopeful for cancer patients. Yeah. When they understand that they have other tools that they can use either together with a conventional therapy or instead of conventional therapy. We have at the Oasis of Hope everything available: surgery, radiation, chemotherapy, as well as a myriad of alternatives. And we have found that when we prepare a patient for any anti-tumor agent, being natural or conventional, that the results are much better. Even when we use chemotherapy, we can use it, as I mentioned before, in very low dosages and with a lot more efficacy and virtually without any side effects. Mm-hmm. So we integrate everything at the Oasis of Hope Hospital, mm-hmm. but our aim is to provide the best therapy for a patient at the lowest cost, money-wise, emotionally, and physically. Mm. There are many conventional therapies that can be very effective, but at a tremendous cost in all areas, but especially physically and emotionally, that are so devastating that a lot of times they would rather die than continue with that therapy. So by integrating them, we have been able to be a lot more effective in keeping our patients alive. Information is one thing, information is very powerful, but if the information doesn't inspire you to make the changes, it's of no value to you. You can be reading something, oh, this is great, but if it doesn't make me apply that information and inspire you, no. And so one of the most important things that I do in my daily life in dealing with my patients, in talking to my patients, in working with my patients, is to inspire them to make the changes, and that there's truly a tremendous amount of hope behind everything that we're doing. We have a lot of patients that come that were sent home to die because there's nothing that you can do for them. There's always something that you can do for a patient, always. And a lot of doctors say, well, what? The patient's dying. Well, at least you can hold their hand and pray with them, and just be with them. It brings dignity, it brings love, it brings care, and that can make it, a change between life and death. If a patient feels that nobody cares and the doctor is sure that they're going to die, well, they die. But if they feel that somebody's there to fight with them, everything can change, and that's why we see some miracles at the Oasis of Hope. There's an epidemic both of cancer, that the cancer incidence and death rate continues to rise, and the trust of patients in doctors has diminished tremendously. We used to be looked as saviors in white coats. Mm-hmm. Now patients are becoming to see doctors as their foe. Why? Because the first thing that a doctor is going to do to a patient is get information sufficient so that they cannot be sued. So we are taught, actually, in medical school, to always give the worst-case scenario. So you're dead. And I'm going to do everything that I can to help you. But since I told you that you're dead, you can't sue me anymore. And it's horrible. Patients go through a tremendous amount of studies, clinical, blood tests and imaging that are a waste of time and money, all to make sure, the doctor makes sure that we didn't pass anything so that I will not be sued for negligence. So a patient that could be diagnosed with a very easy test undergoes thousands of dollars of tests just to be on the safe side. And that is why, you know, the patient-doctor relationship has been broken tremendously. There's no more trust and no more love. And I believe that love is a lot more powerful than any drugs. And so at the Oasis of Hope, we say, love your patient as you love yourself. Otherwise, you can't really help your patient. Really, the patients are a lot more inclined to receive God. You know, whenever you're facing death, you will grasp into anything, and hopefully one of those is faith. And I think that a lot of patients, when they're faced with death, it doesn't matter what their background was or how angry they were at God, because that's one of the major things that we have to work, anger. The famous face of why me is really an anger face. And the anger is going to be, lastly, against God. Why did you allow this to happen to me? And it's a very valid question. And so I work a lot with the patients that if you cannot change your mindset from why me to what for, you will not go forth. And so it's very important to say, well, it is me. I don't understand why. Now what for? And there's a tremendous message. I have a patient that we said, you know, we're gonna pray and we're gonna ask God for healing today. And he said, I can't be healed today. Well, why? You don't have faith? Oh no, I believe very strongly that I could be healed today, but I cannot. Why? He said, because I have three sons that were divorced. The three of them divorced because of my cancer. And that I had such a good relationship with my daughters-in-law, two of my sons are already back with their wives. One isn't. I cannot be healed today. See, he found a reason for his cancer, and that changed everything. Now, the three of them are back together, and he's cancer-free. So, you know, the power of your mind and your faith is a lot more stronger than any medication that I can offer. So it's very important to help patients reframe themselves from anger into hope. Eleanor Roosevelt said, yesterday is gone, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift. That's why we call it present. And so that's what I tell my patients. I don't know, I don't have cancer, and I don't know if I'm going to be alive tomorrow. You know, I may cross the street, be run over by a truck. And you that were told that we're going to die in 6 months, 20 years from now, is going to say, remember that crazy Mexican doctor? So the hope is that, you know, we are living for a purpose, and that no matter what happens, we have to enjoy the day. There's no more powerful teaching than your own experience. So if people see you, I mentioned today in my chat of this guy that I met as a patient, and it was riddled with cancer, and I was trying to cheer him up. And he said, oh, doctor, you don't have to cheer me up. Cancer is the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm like, what? Yes, he said, I have three kids that I didn't know, and I have a wife that was just about to leave me. And because of this cancer, now I spend every moment that I can with my children, and every afternoon I hold hands with my wife and watch the sunset. Cancer is the best thing that ever happened to me. It's all on how you view things, and that is what changes your life. Hey. He's alive and doing very well, very well. So there's a tremendous amount of power in your faith in what God can do for you. And so in a good sense of the word, we exploit that at the Oasis of Hope. And we've been criticized for that. Who cares? The power of your mind is incredible. God gave it to us. Let's use it. I came to the field of medicine basically because of my father. And I had one wonderful experience with my father as a kid in seeing him, the passion that he had for patients. My father was an oncologist, and he's the founder of the Oasis of Hope. And then I had the privilege of working with him over 20 years before he passed away. This is a great ride working with him. So my father was a tremendous figure to me medically and as a father. Great man. I mean, I think that the advantage that I have over other people in working with their parents is that I never, his shoes were just too big for me, and I never tried to fill them. And so that was not an issue for me, but following in his footsteps has been a tremendous blessing to me. I have five children, four daughters, one son. The son, I call him my good error because we decided not to have any more children. So he looks like my grandchild. He's 17. He has told me that he wants to study medicine, so I'm very, very grateful for that. My eldest daughter is our nutritionist, so she's working with us. I have another daughter that is working with us on the administrative side, and two others that are just artists. And so they're doing other things, but I'm blessed as well. The most powerful things that my father taught me in this order are that in order for us to be effective, we have to love our patients as we love ourselves. And I remember one thing. When I came back, I did my specialty in Vienna. I did 5 years of surgical oncology in the University of Vienna, Austria. And so I came back to work with my dad after that. And I brought, you know, new technology at the time in the early 80s, late 70s. It was endoscopy, this long tubes that you would put into people. We still use them today, but it was the new thing. So I brought the colonoscopy to our hospital. The first colonoscope, I brought it, and I was trained to do that. And I was I was doing colonoscopies left and right. And so my father called me one day and said, you know, Francisco, I've noticed that you're prescribing a lot of colonoscopies. I said, Father, it's beautiful. You know, you put this, you know, 3 feet long thing inside of the people, and you're looking, and it's just wonderful. And he starts writing. What are you writing? A prescription for what? For a colonoscopy? Oh, really? For whom? For you. So I had a colonoscopy, and after that, very few people. My father paved the way for everybody that is now involved in alternative therapies. And so we have transitioned from quacks into alternative doctors. And I think that's a great gain for us that are interested in offering more possibilities for cancer patients. I was invited to talk to the House of Representatives in California, together with a number of oncologists from California, about the possibility of instituting alternative therapies in California. And so they were very critical about it. And at the end, I told them, well, you know, the problem is that it's not technical. The problem is philosophical, whether you want to really help cancers or do you want to help your career. And so one of the oncologists said, well, the thing is that everything has to be evidence-based. And so I want to encourage anybody that is in the field of medicine that evidence-based medicine has proven, and I told this to the oncologist, that what you're doing is of no help. And they went, whoa. No, we have all of this science and all of this publication. Well, no, the evidence is that this year more people are going to die of cancer than last year. That is the evidence. And so we must open our minds and our hearts to other things. Otherwise, we're never going to be able to surpass this foe. And our statistics are between 3 and 20 times better than that of Sloan Kettering, the best oncological center in the world. How can it be? Because we love our patients, because we change their lifestyle, because we do some of the simple things that are extremely powerful for them. Our success rate is so much better because we take care of the whole person. And a cancer patient not only has physical needs, they have emotional needs and they have spiritual needs. And the stronghold of cancer is fear. If a patient cannot face the fear, he's lost or she is lost. And so one of the things that we teach our patients is how to cope with that fear and change that fear into hope. And while there's life, there's hope. No matter what anybody says, and if all of our successes are miracles, praise God. They're miracles. But we set the stage for the patient, and so the platform is that of hope. And from there, they jump into the miracles. And when a patient dies, it's not a failure. See, the failure is that the patient will die hopeless and without any dignity. So for us, being successful is providing dignity and hope for eternity for that patient.